The capital of the oil-rich nation of Kuwait is a mere hour's drive south of the Iraq border. That fact is never far from the minds of Kuwaitis. In August 1990, Saddam Hussein's army swept into Kuwait and began a brutal 7-month occupation. Kuwait owes its existence to the U.S.-led rescue that took place 13 years ago. Today, the third part of a series on Iraq's neighbors. NPR's Deborah Amos reports on an Arab country where a majority still believe the current Bush administration was right to invade Iraq and destroy the Saddam Hussein regime.
When the producers of a popular U.S. sports program on ESPN decided to broadcast a salute to the troops, they came to Camp Arifjan in Kuwait. Officers here say it's now the most permanent American footprint in the region. The U.S. facility is an hour's drive south of the capital. The ESPN broadcast was a highlight for the transportation units deployed here. Camp Arifjan is also known as Truckville. Soldiers make the drive to Baghdad, delivering equipment and supplies, a dangerous 600-mile journey. Once back in Kuwait, they are welcome, says Sada Jame, a former government official, now an academic and a newspaper columnist.
This was the launching pad for Operation Iraqi Freedom. So the overwhelming majority of the people and the government of Kuwait were all pro the United States to topple Saddam Hussein and his regime.
Kuwaitis are still grateful for a U.S.-led invasion 13 years ago. They maintain a museum to that traumatic time, a family home with gaping shell holes in the bricks. Cars parked in the driveway are blackened and bent. A harmless Iraqi tank is parked across the street. This is a quiet place. A cab driver explains the Museum to Violence and Death is for visitors.
To show the people that how the Iraqi they behave when they come here. People like you and the West people, they don't know about this. So they come here to take an idea how the Iraqi were doing in Kuwait.
Kuwaitis don't need reminders of an Iraqi army that smashed or looted everything in sight, then set fire to more than 700 oil wells. Since the fall of Saddam's regime, the remains of some of the 700 Kuwaitis missing since the occupation have been found. Their bones are brought back for burial. Mishal Ali, a university student, says his cousin's remains were found in a mass grave in Iraq.
Just now, like a few weeks ago, they found his body. And his daughter, she never had the chance to meet him. And now she just knew that he's actually dead.
Mishal Ali hopes he's part of a generation that can turn away from the violence that ended his cousin's life. He's the student body president at American University of Kuwait, the first private liberal arts school in the country. It looks like a small college in the American Southwest. A young woman strums a guitar in the cafeteria where a cappuccino maker steams away. Most of the instruction is in English.
Ali speaks Arabic?
Mm-hmm. Ali speaks Arabic. Next.
Two wealthy princes in the royal family may seem like an odd pair to fund a school advocating change. But the stated goal is to open minds, develop leadership for peaceful change, and dampen the allure of radical Islam. Shafiq Gabra is the founding president.
If we are able to address some of the serious issues that are affecting and infecting this region, we will be able to help a new generation become less political, more focused on success, freedom, a generation that is more interested in addressing the serious economic problems that endanger this region.
In many ways, Kuwait is already one of the most democratic countries in the region. Parliament is active, and so is the press. Women account for one-third of the workforce and two-thirds of college degrees in the country. There are still limits on reform. Parliament, dominated by Islamist parties, has not granted Kuwaiti women the right to vote. It's one of Kuwait's head-shaking contradictions. The most popular television show is an American import, Oprah. Alcohol is forbidden by law, but easily available. And there's an openly gay community in the country, a rarity in the Arab world. Sexual preference is not flaunted, but hotels and private rooms in shopping malls are well known for parties on the weekends. One recent gathering began at midnight. It takes a call on a cell phone to get past the guard with a list of approved names.
I am inside the mall. Now, can I get up there from the escalator right here?
Many of these professional men, in their 20s and 30s, back U.S. involvement in the Middle East. They feel the rise of Islamic fundamentalism threatens them personally, threatens hope for more political reform in the region.
This part of the world needs this kind of fixing. We, as people, as a nation, and as a religion, we never fixed ourselves. We're still back in the Middle Ages, and we will never fix ourselves until somebody comes with a stick and fixes up. And I am with them all the way.
Kuwait is not immune from the region's radical ideas. On Fridays, the faithful spill out onto the sidewalks, praying under the full force of a desert sun. The government's Ministry of Islamic Affairs monitors sermons to prevent what it considers radical rhetoric, calls to join al-Qaeda. But they haven't blocked radical websites where those calls can be read. CDs and videotapes calling U.S. forces crusaders and barbarian thieves are easily available. This summer, 20 Islamists were arrested in Kuwait for allegedly recruiting teenagers to fight in Iraq.
Definitely there are somebody who is responsible of financing them, encourage them, and carry them to be in Iraq.
Matsuma Mubarak, a political science professor at Kuwait University, says the nation was stunned by the arrest of four Kuwaiti teenagers in Syria, picked up trying to cross the Iraqi border.
There are some who are abusing or using some of the unrest and instability in Iraq to explain it in religious views.
A religious view that insists Iraq is just one battle in a larger war against Islam. Kuwaitis acknowledge that their views on Iraq and the U.S. are shaped by their own specific experience, but they also know they live in a region where radical Islam can appeal even to their children. The battle of ideas can be lost not over Iraq, but over U.S. failures to address the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, says Sada Jami. This former government official believes that as long as the Bush administration seems to say Israel is always right, the Palestinians always wrong, transforming the region through democracy and human rights will stall.
I think the United States have actually saved Muslims in this country. They have saved Muslims in Iraq and in Afghanistan and in Bosnia. But they're not doing their homework when it comes to the Arab-Israeli conflict, the Palestinian issue. They are not at all. Look at the current administration. They're just sitting idle while people are being killed. And I'm talking about innocent people killed on both sides.
Even in Kuwait, he says, it is the issue that allows the radicals to win recruits. Deborah Amos, NPR News.
You can find photos from Kuwait and stories on some of Iraq's other neighbors at npr.org.